But first to an ethical debate that really has the arts community fired up, the issue of the artist and corporate sponsorship. There's been, there's been heated debate, hasn't there, about Australia's hardline treatment of asylum seekers, especially following the violence on Manus Island in Papua New Guinea, which left one asylum seeker dead and many more injured, a dozen in a critical condition. So what does an artist do if he or she feels strongly about the policy of detaining refugees who have arrived by boat? As we've reported here on Books and Arts Daily, 28 artists have written an open letter strongly criticising Transfield's involvement as a key sponsor of the Sydney Biennale. Now, Transfield is a construction company. It does transport. It's also involved in security. It has many, many roles. And one of its jobs is to manage the detention centres in Nauru and on Manus Island. Sydney becomes a global platform for the visual arts, attracting thousands of visitors, including overseas artists, when the Biennale kicks off in mid-March. And it goes right through to early June. But is the Biennale the right target for these artists to have in their sights? Can such a protest be effective? Well, let's discuss the issues. Joining me now are Fiona Menzies, who's Chief Executive of Creative Partnerships Australia, which is a government-funded organisation that promotes philanthropy and social investment for the cultural sector. Fiona, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Michael.
Gabrielle de Viatrice here. She's one of the artists who's signed an open letter calling on the Biennale to dissociate itself from the company. Gabrielle, welcome.
Hi, Michael.
And Fiona de Gruber. Fiona Gruber, I've just given you a sort of honorific, is an arts journalist and broadcaster.
Hello, I feel very aristocratic now.
Well done, well done. So, Gabrielle de Viatrice, you're one of the signatories to this letter. Now, it's been reported as a call for a boycott by artists of the Sydney Biennale, but that's not actually what you've done. So just tell us what the goal of the letter is.
So the boycott was when we became initially aware of this situation. And the letter is actually, one step in what we see as an ongoing process between the artists and in negotiation with the with the Biennale. And
so just to clarify the boycott, there was a Sydney academic who called for a boycott. You've got together with a group of artists, you've written a letter, and you're saying what?
We're saying that we want the Biennale to cut their ties with Transfield, that we want them to withdraw from their sponsorship arrangement with Transfield and seek more ethical sponsorship for the Biennale to continue with.
So you've met as a group, have you, with the Biennale?
We've met with the CEO of the Biennale. We've met with the artistic director. So we're the artists who have signed this letter are all participants in the Sydney Biennale.
Okay. Now the Biennale has issued a statement, I think, on Friday. And they say, firstly, let us say we truly empathise with the artists in the situation. Like them, the board is inadvertently caught somewhere between ideology and principle. Both parties are collateral damage in a complex argument. Neither wants to see human suffering. Mm. What's your response?
So the Biennale, obviously, is the Biennale board as individuals, they obviously feel very compassionate towards the plight of the refugees and asylum seekers, but they have not responded to our request to sever their ties with Transfield.
They haven't done what you want.
No, they haven't. They haven't done that.
But they've indicated some sympathy. We truly empathise with the artists.
They have.
So it's not a hostile conversation, is it?
No, it's absolutely not a hostile conversation. And we are not saying that, the Biennale is not our enemy. We are working with the Biennale to create a wonderful arts festival, and we would love for that to continue in an ethical way. I guess our target here really is the Australian government policy of mandatory detention offshore in these hideous detention centres.
Fiona Menzies, perhaps you can help us just recap the history of Transfield's involvement in the Biennale.
Well, look, I mean, I'm not part of the Biennale, but my understanding is that Transfield and Franco Belgiononettis really established the Biennale and have remained an integral part of it and as a sponsor for the past 40 years. So the Biennale was established in 1973 and they've maintained that partnership over many decades, which I think is admirable. Many arts organisations would envy such a partnership, and I think it's a real sign of the commitment of the Belgiononettises to the arts in general, but to this particular event.
Fiona Gruber, you're an arts journalist and you've been looking into this. How much money does Transfield actually put into the Biennale, do we know?
No, I haven't been able to get those figures. It's 6% of the total budget. And I'm talking to Gabrielle beforehand. There seems to be some ambiguity as to how much that actually represents in upfront cash. Mm. I think, Gabrielle, you said it was actually sort of more like 30% of their sort of running budget, their cash budget.
Yeah, we've been told in conversation that in terms of the cash contribution, it's more like 30 to 50% of the budget.
And well, this is very hard to understand then. I mean, how can one figure be 6%, one say 30%?
So say, and this is just a speculative figure, say the overall value of the Biennale is $100 million. Transfield contributes $6.1 million in cash to that budget, but and the actual flow, the revenue of money that goes through the Biennale is something like $15 million. But the overall value, including venues, including ferries that might be given as in-kind, including all this in-kind and contra, is much, much more than the cash flow that the Biennale has.
Now, Fiona Menzies, the letter that Gabrielle has signed talks about artists taking, quote, responsibility for our own participation in the chain of connections that links us to human suffering. What's your response to this move that the artists are making?
Look, I think it's an individual choice, Michael. I think some artists will want to be political and some artists won't. And I think, you know, we need to respect both positions.
Well, at the moment, what the artists who are involved in this are calling for is for the Biennale to cut its ties with Transfield. Is that a feasible move for the Biennale to make?
Look, I would really caution arts organisations. Whilst I fully respect the choice of individuals to decide whether they want to participate in any particular event or not, I would caution arts organisations to take a stance, because they have a variety of stakeholders who will hold a variety of views on any given issue, not just this one.
So, sorry,
and
would
I
you
don't
say,
think
sorry.
Arts organisations should be second guessing what their stakeholders think on those issues, or if they want them to be politically active on them.
Right. So just to clarify your position, you think it's unreasonable to say to the Biennale, you shouldn't accept money from this sponsor, that sponsor looks okay to us, but that sponsor there, you shouldn't be accepting that money. You should just take the money and not question the motives or the look at the other activities that the sponsor is involved in. Is that the position?
I think it's sort of slightly more complex than that. I think arts organisations always do try and find a fit of values when they're looking for partners, just as the corporates would as well be looking for arts organisations that they believe share their values, which is the right thing to do. But I think if an individual artist wants to not participate in that organisation because of a particular sponsorship they hold, then that's fine. But I don't think that arts organisations should be doing that in the way suggested.
Because you don't think that arts funding should be politicised? What's the underlying rationale for that position?
Yeah, I don't think it should be politicised. I mean, I think corporate Australia and individual philanthropists, and they're not exclusive either. Sometimes they're sort of one and the same thing. Have made an enormous contribution over many decades to the arts in Australia, and we want that to continue. I wouldn't say it at all costs, but I think if people are engaged in legal activities, then that's perfectly reasonable to accept them as a source of funding.
Gabrielle DeVietri, you're one of the artists who's signed this letter. Mm. Just thinking this through logically, I guess there are three options that artists could take if they want to take a stand. One is to say to the Biennale, we don't want to be, you should stop taking money from Transfield so that the Biennale is ethically acceptable to us. The second thing is for your artists to say, we won't be part of this. Mm. And the third is to say to artists, no, come along, be part of it, but make sure that if you feel strongly about this issue, that is asylum seekers, that your art addresses that.
Yeah, and that's the those are the three options that we've been given, and we see that there are a whole lot of nuances that, that can be taken in between those options as well, that it's not a hard and fast, you have to make the decision on.
But the one you've headlined is saying to the Biennale, we want you to sever your ties with Transfield.
That's the one we've taken at the moment, because I guess that if the Biennale is able to take responsibility further up the line, that us acting is us taking responsibility for our involvement, which is something that we should do. Further up the line, there's the Biennale and our arts organisations being accountable for their part in unethical practices. Up the line again, there's Transfield and their practices, and then finally there's the Australian government. So I guess we are trying to push that responsibility up the line.
But the possible outcome of this kind of Mexican standoff, is that an acceptable expression? I don't know. Perhaps you don't say that anymore. I don't even know what it means. The possible outcome of this kind of staring each other down game that you're playing is that you may end up with the Biennale saying, no, we're going ahead with that. Now,
and that's what they've said.
So what's your next move? Is your next move to say to artists, well, don't be involved? Or are you going to say to artists, make sure that your work addresses these issues?
We've taken the weekend to discuss with this with all the artists. We're in conversation with 36 of the international and Australian artists in the Biennale, and as a group we haven't been able to come up with a solution. People are starting to consider their own tactics and their own personal decisions.
Well, everyone has to go their own way because they're artists. Yeah. This is Books and Arts Daily on RN. I'm Michael Cathcart. And we're involved in this discussion about art and corporate sponsorship, which has been brought on in relation to Transfield's sponsorship of the Sydney Biennale. A group of artists have got together and said to the Sydney Biennale that you should sever your ties with Transfield. And the reason for this is that Transfield, among its many activities, it's an enormous corporation. It now runs the asylum seeker centres. Let me read you a statement from Transfield Holdings, Gabrielle, that quotes Luca Belgiorno-Nettis, who's the executive director of the company, and he's also chairman of the Biennale of Sydney, and he's a trustee of the Transfield Foundation. I mean, we should say this company's involved in massive sponsorship of the arts.
It's very intricate, yeah.
He said this. So this is Transfield's head guy. Many Australians struggle with the problem of managing the transit of refugees to this country. This is a global challenge. The Biennale of Sydney acts as an artistic platform for dialogue around issues such as this. That's a pretty, that's a blank check, isn't it? That's saying to artists, come on, we're paying for this, come and have your say.
So the Biennale has been very supportive of our position.
But not just the Biennale,
Transfield. They are very open and supportive. They have said, protest from within, continue to be involved, but use this as a platform. You've got a public who are waiting.
So why isn't that enough?
This is personally, I'm not speaking on behalf of the group, but personally I see that invitation as something that adds further value to the brand of Transfield. That if Transfield is able to be seen as providing a platform for artists to create their work and to critique the systems within it, then that is actually an institutional critique becomes absorbed into the value that Transfield is benefiting from.
Now, Fiona Gruber, as an arts journalist, you've been watching these kinds of debates and watching the arts for a long, long time. Where do you see this leading? I mean, can you imagine a situation where all arts organisations are going to have to vet their sponsors, or do they do this already?
Well, some do have ethics committees, and there are, you know, there are lots of opportunities to strengthen that, and I think that one good thing that could come out of this is some kind of charter that major and minor organisations could sign up to where they, you know, agree they won't take sponsorship. I mean, look at tobacco. You know, if years ago, everybody, you know, nobody thought twice about taking tobacco sponsorship. Now, tobacco companies are reduced to, I was looking up some art sponsorship, and I think there's a writing or an arts festival in the Philippines, which they're clinging on to, I think, so that's Philip Morris. That, you know, they have been pushed out because it was seen as unethical to take money from sort of a cancer-causing company. That, you know, I think that there's loads of scope for ethics. And in the UK, there are some very interesting examples of protest organisations that have taken on the Tate, that have taken on the South Bank, that have taken on other organisations that mount protests and interventions and that have kept the debate really alive in the public sphere and have made sponsors uncomfortable because, you know, we have to sort of recognise it's not a one-way street. Sponsorship is massively beneficial to the sponsors.
Yeah.
It makes them household names. It makes them seem cuddly and friendly and part of the normal fabric of life, whether they're fracking, whether they're using slave labour in Burma, whether they're poisoning. You know, look at the big companies. They're a lot of the big petrochemical companies are also major art sponsors. I'm sure their executives love the arts, but their companies are also, it's all about, you know, carefully thought out strategy.
Fiona Menzies, does this come down to a difference between philanthropy and sponsorship? Are they two different kinds of activities? I mean, philanthropy can be anonymous, and I guess that...
They can be different, Michael, and they can be, you know, a little bit the same too. I must step in here and say I don't really agree with the characterisation of all companies as big and evil. I think that's a really sort of simplistic and dangerous characterisation to use. I think, you know, there is philanthropy which is from individuals, and I guess I'd be interested to hear from Gabrielle about her thoughts about having work bought by individuals who may have made their money with which to buy the work from working from one of these companies, because I'm interested in that question of where do you draw the line, really. I think some companies engage in sponsorship, which is a very commercial deal, which is we'll give you this money and this is what we expect in return, which can be in the form of a lot of things. It can be branding, it can be staff engagement is very common at the moment of what companies are looking for. They want their employees to feel as though they're engaged in community activities, so they use their sponsorships to provide that engagement, and their staff love it. And I think some companies do also engage in corporate philanthropy, which is different from sponsorship. I think it's also different when you're talking about publicly listed companies as opposed to privately owned businesses.
Let's get a response from Gabrielle. Make that point, Gabrielle.
I'm not sure if about the work being bought.
Yeah.
I'm not actually sure if my work has been bought by anyone who's not that I've gone deeply into their personal.
But you get the principle. Life. The principle is that artists are looking to make sales, and if a big company wants to buy your painting and hang it in the foyer.
Yeah. No. If I don't believe in the ethics of that company, no.
You wouldn't sell.
But I'm talking about the individual. What if he wants to buy it to himself to hang it on his wall?
Okay. Put it in his house. Would you say
my work itself is socially engaged? It exists in communities. It doesn't hang on walls.
Okay.
So it doesn't.
Let's talk about the ethics overall for artists. Would you expect an artist overall to say, "Look, I don't fancy what you do in your private life or how you've earned this money. I'm not prepared to take this money off you."
I guess it would come down to the individual artist. I'm not in a position in this circumstance or in other circumstances to tell artists what their ethical positions should be, and I'm really careful of that when we're dealing with the other artists.
I think you need to remind us why you feel so motivated about this issue.
This is not just a political disagreement that we have.
A philosophical conundrum. This is just tell us about this issue. Why this company? Why now?
This is a convergence of some really urgent situations. It's a dire situation. It's a deepening urgency that is happening on Manus Island at the moment and also in Nauru. It's that Transfield is expanding their contracts with the government to include welfare. They're a construction company, as you said. They're taking over the welfare of these detainees on Manus Island and Nauru.
Formerly, I think, managed by the Salvation Army, is that right?
That's right, yes. And it's the imminence of the Biennale's opening. So this has put us in a position where our links to human suffering have become really starkly obvious, and we have been called upon by the public, by the same public that's a stakeholder in the Biennale, and by our fellow artists to act, and to act urgently and to act ethically.
But Gabrielle, aren't you making an assumption that it's going to be worse because Transfield are taking it on? Maybe it'll be better.
I see that any company profiting from the detainment of asylum seekers, which is in contravention of the Covenant on Civil and Political Rights and the Convention of the Child, which is Australia is a signatory to. I see any involvement in that as unethical.
Let's bring in Fiona Gruber here, because the management of Manus Island was officially handed over, I think, from the previous company G4S to Transfield on Saturday. You've spoken to Transfield about this.
Yeah, well, I've spoken to their spokesman, David Jameson, and he has said, you know, he's pointed out a couple of things that, A, they are actually employing some of the Salvation Army staff, and they are subcontracting their security to Wilson. So they have been handed the big package, and they are now subcontracting. And, you know, his argument was as well, you know, we can do it better than anyone else, but it's not our place to question politics. I think that's the nub. I mean, of course, it is their place to, you know, they have a choice to tender for a project or not. I mean, the ethical issue here is also muddied by the fact that this is a bipartisan policy, offshore detention, and it was instigated under Labour. And in fact, there was protest at the 2012 Biennale, but only by a couple of artists, including Kevin Rudd's nephew, Van Tan Rudd, here in Melbourne. He wasn't even part of the Biennale. But artists then didn't engage with the ethics. They've engaged with the ethics now, and it's become very pointy and very emotional. But it's, of course, part of a much broader issue, which you've touched upon about, you know, do you let people buy your work who you don't like? Do you take money from the Australia Council, which is funded by the government? And, you know, if it's bipartisan, that means that, of course, you're implicit on a broader level. You know, things might get diluted, but the principles sort of remain the same. It's very, very hard because artists are very poor in the main. And they, you know, the amount of money they're paid by the Biennale to take part is really, really small. Vast majority would be out of pocket anyway, and it's too late for them to respond in their work. They would have made their work by now. It's opening in a couple of weeks.
When you spoke to Transfield, did you get the impression, or did they give you any sign that they were interested in a humane approach, that their long history of philanthropy would be part of the way in which they conducted themselves in running these
centres? Well, they've been involved in the defence, in Australian Defence Force. They've been involved with Aboriginal issues, and they pointed to that as a sort of part of their sort of background in sort of caring in the community. But the fact is, you know, it's not as though they've got a carte blanche to go in there and open the gates and sort of, you know, introduce a whole raft of sort of measures. They can't move on any asylum keepers, any asylum seekers' claim, can they? Mm. They have to, you know, that's why they're rioting, because they have that horrible uncertainty. Transfield can't address that, you know, unless they sort of, all they can do is, you know, make the pillows in hell slightly more comfortable.
We've only got a couple of minutes left. Gabrielle, do you feel any apprehension that you may be targeted in the future for taking this stance?
Targeted by whom?
Well, I don't know, that it may count against you?
It's possible that this is not the best career move to stand up like this, but I and other artists feel extremely strongly about this issue, and I don't think that we really have a choice but to respond.
Fiona Menzies, as we wind up, what's your advice to artists who want to make a point here?
Well, I fully respect, you know, the choice of any artist to take whatever stance they like, and I don't think anyone would hold it against them, Michael. I think we live in a grown-up world, and people are more mature than that. I would also just repeat what I said earlier, which is I would caution arts organisations to sort of second guess on moral issues. I don't think that's what they're there for.
What do you mean by second guess?
Well, I think if they're taking a stance on any issue, they're assuming that their stakeholders will agree with the position that they've taken on that issue. And I don't think that's necessarily the case. I mean, I think in the case of this, 85% of people voted for the two major parties who both had the same policy on the detention of asylum seekers. So I think it's likely, therefore, that a number of people involved with the Biennale, whether it be as sponsors, artists, audiences and so on, would agree with the policy.
It wasn't a referendum on asylum seeker policy, though, wasn't it? It was a general election. So I think that's maybe, you know, people actually weren't voting for the offshore detention of asylum seekers. They were voting for the party that, you know, they had a choice of three or four parties, and they then voted for a raft of policies.
Nevertheless, you do have the situation where both parties support it. Well, look, this has been a very interesting conversation, and I suppose the point is to have this debate. You know, however it resolves, these are important debates for Australia to have about doing these things ethically and effectively. Thank you to all three of you for coming in, being so candid and so generous in the way in which you engaged in this conversation. Thanks to all of the people who are debating this issue on Twitter. This is a very vigorous and important debate, and it's great to be part of it. But thanks to our guests. Fiona Menzies is Chief Executive of Creative Partnerships Australia, a government-funded organisation that promotes philanthropy and social investment in the cultural sector. Gabriella De Viatri is one of the signatories to that letter. 28 artists have signed it. They're part of that working group, which is calling on the Biennale to sever its ties with Transfield. And Fiona Gruber is an arts journalist and broadcaster who has been following this story. Thanks to you all. This is Books and Arts Daily on RN. I'm Michael Cathcart.